static.
Welcome back to Memory Static, the podcast that finds the movies you loved when you were little, talks about them, and throws a party to watch them. And stay tuned to the end of every episode for a new original song written by me and my brother based on the movie we are covering. I'm your host, Bailey Moore, and I'm pleased to introduce my guest tonight, Lexter Santana. Welcome!
Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here.
Yeah, no, I was super excited. It was about time. It was about time. We have been putting this off for like, I don't know how long.
It's been a little while, but you're finally here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to.
So I've been working on a few projects lately. It's been a mix of film, stunt, and just like all around creativity, I think. I've been making a lot of art and just polishing some of my skills, learning some new ones. When was it? Just last year, I opened up some businesses, and that was a whole new experience because, like, I consider myself a businessman, but really, like, actually diving into like the legal stuff and like the paperwork and all that nonsense that nobody wants to deal with, that was like mind-numbing. But we got through it. We're still getting through it. You know what I mean? And so I'm very excited just to be able to really get those businesses up on their feet and get them the space that they need, right? Because right now I'm also like moving into a new spot. It's also been like a whole lot of making sure everything fits where it needs to so that I have space to keep putting out projects and being creative and all that good stuff. But on the film side, I'm really excited because like, although COVID really slowed some things down, we still got some awards in some of the films that I had been working on.
Awesome.
And so one of those was like Brother. The film Brother did amazing in festivals, and it was just like getting award after award. And so I'm really happy just for that short film to have like come out and still have done so great, regardless of like what happened at South by Southwest, like it was canceled. So that was like such a big thing for me this year. It was just like something to push forward and like be like, hey, keep going. Don't stop, you know? So that was exciting. And of course, I've gotten to work on a lot of more projects, some bigger projects. I'm still not allowed to talk about all of them, but just know that there's some more stuff coming.
Awesome. Where can we find your stuff that we can find?
So it's mixed. It's kind of, there's a little bit of everything everywhere. If you go to my website, LexterSantana.com, you will see some of the projects that I've been able to work on that I've published or have been published. There are usually like links or there might be information to where I tell you, hey, this is where you can watch it. And like, it's more like the production rather than myself, but we'll get you the link. We'll get you. So if you feel like you want to watch some of my films or there's a specific project that interests you, reach out to me and we'll make sure you get to see something.
So yeah. Lexter, what are we going to be watching tonight?
We are going to be watching Spirited Away.
Yeah.
And it is an animated children's film that I used to watch when I grew up. I remember talking to Bailey about it. I was just like, hey, like this is like a film we kind of like had in common. So it was nice to just bring it up and watch it too. I think we're like, it's pretty awesome that we're going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited that we're going to watch it. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal connection with the film?
So personally, I feel that I'm connected with this film because whenever I was growing up, I used to watch a lot of cartoons, right? And so especially with the industry that I grew up into, I feel like that really made me who I was, right? It was just like watching these animated films and watching some of the things that they would do. I always thought like I had superpowers and I could do some of the things these cartoons would. Obviously, I was not, you know, but I quickly learned that. And so, but still, like, just the joy, like, that a kid gets from, like, watching these animated films. And so Spirited Away was one of those that we had because back in the day, we, like, either, like, you had, like, network or something, but, like, you also had, like, a lot of DVDs and stuff like that. And so that was one of the ones we had in DVD. And so I got to watch it as many times as I could, you know?
Yeah.
Which was always cool because, like, you didn't have to worry about like, oh, well, mom's show is on or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like, okay, like it's Saturday. I can just still watch my cartoons. It's great. So I think it was one of those things that I really just got to enjoy a lot while I was young. I really enjoyed it, how it was, you know, portrayed and the story behind it. I feel like now as an adult, I understand it more, but like, as a kid, you know, like I was just looking out for like, oh, that looks cool. And like, oh my goodness, it looks great.
It's a pretty complex plot.
Right.
Speaking of which, could you give us a brief summary of the movie with no spoilers?
Man, I'm so bad at that. I can't. I don't know. I'm just like...
Well, if you were describing the movie to someone, how would you describe it?
I would tell them... Okay, let me see. I'm like so bad at giving away like key things. It's so bad.
Don't worry. I can edit it. If you do terribly, I'll just... You know, take everything.
Okay. It's just a bleep, right? It's just like...
Yeah. You'll do fine.
And that's
though.
What I would tell them. Okay, no. But I think what I would say was... Okay, so it's a film mostly based on the animals, right? But obviously there's like adults in it or like humans in it. Basically, it's the story of like how this horse goes on a journey... In this journey, he like encounters like everything that life throws at you, man. Like it's so crazy, but like, you know, at the end, does it work out at the end? Does it work out? But it works out. It works out. And so, yeah, I think
Lexter, I've just realized a problem. We're talking about a different movie.
What do you mean?
I think you're talking about the movie Spirit.
Wait, what are we talking about? Spirit, wait, we're talking about Spirited? Oh, wait. Or
Spirited Away.
Oh my goodness. We're talking about a totally different movie. But you know what? But you know what?
What?
Also an equally wonderful movie, right? for different reasons, okay? But let's, now that we're doing this, we'll hop back on track like nothing ever happened, okay?
Okay.
Here's what we'll do. But keep this in there.
This is too good.
Okay. So, what I would tell them, about Spirited Away, it's about a cultural movie, right? It's a cultural phenomenon at this point, because I feel like if you haven't seen it, get on it. But it's an animated film, right? And it's about a child who is sort of out exploring, right? And, you know, like children do, they have to learn by themselves sometimes. Their parents can't tell them everything. Right. And so, we see this in this movie. But it's great because like the child actually learns the lesson and it's just like, oh, my goodness, like, it's great. It's wonderful. And the way they tell this movie, I don't know, like it's not your traditional cartoon, you know, so it's very interesting. It's very peculiar. And so I know the person who makes these films, Miyazaki, right?
Yeah.
All his films are
amazing. Oh, yeah. Watch them. You've heard it here. Lexter says to watch them.
Okay.
So this is the first Studio Ghibli movie we've covered. Are you a fan of Studio Ghibli?
I am.
Yeah. So when you watched this, you did watch this as a kid?
So as a kid, I did not. I'm a recent fan. I won't lie. But I saw... And I hooked on, like, it was just like, because it was such good storytelling. That's all it was. I think it was just like, you can really like get lost in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And not only like just the story, the visuals as well. I think that's always been a big factor. Like I mentioned earlier, when I thought we were talking about Spirit, it was like the cartoon factor of it. Like, it's just like something visually, you have to almost look at it. Like it's impossible not to. Also, the way that they animate it and the way that they do it, it's not like a regular animation or any that I've seen anyway. I thought it was great all around.
Oh, yeah. When you were a kid, Did you ever wish that you could get spirited away to a different place?
You know, I think I had my times. I think I had my moments when I wanted to be like spirited away, sort of say, where I was just like not happy with, you know, how things were around me and that sort of thing. And I think, you know, just to speak on that a little bit, I grew up in Puerto Rico. It wasn't the worst neighborhood, but it also wasn't like the best neighborhood. You know what I mean? So there were times when I was just like, man, like, I want to get out of here. Like, I just, that's not what you want, you know? So in that sense, you almost, you feel that, like, you want to like, just like leave. You just don't want to be there, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily know like where or what, you know what I'm saying? You're just like, man, this ain't it. I'm not feeling it right now. And so like, I think in that sense, with the story, I feel like you get that with the sense of like when the kid gets this need to like explore and like go out, and like the kid has to learn that. And so you have to almost experience these things in order to appreciate some of the things that you're being told, where you come from and everything else that forms us.
Yeah. Right. Because she does enter this fantasy realm. And right. And it turns out not to be great. And she comes back, I guess, appreciating more the life that she's living, even though she has to move.
Right. Right. All in all, great stuff.
You said a little bit before that when you were a kid, you thought you had magic powers or superpowers. So where did your imagination take you when you were little, and what did you like to play pretend?
It took me everywhere. Like, my imagination had no limits as far as where it could take me. It was such a big influence in what I do now, because it's like, I just let it run loose. You know, sometimes I feel like we get these barriers put on us as far as like creativity goes. You know, it doesn't cost anything to dream, right? Like that little phrase right there could just kill a hope or an aspiration or a dream, you know, like in an instant. And I think like as a child, I was, whatever, like those things just flew over my head, you know? And so I never creatively, I don't think I ever had like a limit. So I lived in the creative world, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so easy for me to just disconnect from reality. Mm-hmm. And so I was one of those kids that like, you could be talking to and I would just be like zoned out. Like, I'd be like, and I'd be thinking about like, worlds. Star Wars was a big influence on me. Spider-Man, Mortal Kombat. Some of these, like, I want to say like Nemo, for example. I used to watch Nemo a lot. Some of these films were like, they let me know like, okay, well, there's life outside of like us, and it goes into the ocean, it goes into space, it goes into, so that to me was like, okay, well, you know, duh, like obviously I could find an alien underwater and like have a conversation with him without a problem, because like, you know, it's already happening, you know? Long story short, my imagination was endless.
You had a very, very rich imaginary life as a child.
I did.
So I think it's about time to step into the slow-moving time machine. So if you want to watch the movie before we potentially talk about spoilers, this is the place to pause and then pick back up with us when you watch the movie, after you watch the movie. Spirited Away is streaming on HBO Max and is available to rent on other streaming platforms. So, Lexter, I have programmed your coordinates into the slow-moving time machine, so your door should be arriving anytime now. So let me know when you see it on your end.
Are you sure you sent it to the right room?
I think so.
There's a few rooms in the house.
Oh, well, do you want to run around the house to make sure you don't have a floating door somewhere? Oh, are you okay?
I got it.
You found it.
I found it.
Okay. All right. Well, you go through your door. I'll go through my door and I'll meet you inside the slow moving time machine.
All right. Okay.
Personal injury can be due only to user error.
Welcome, Lexter, to the slow moving
time machine.
I feel
little already.
Do you understand where you are and what has happened to your existence?
You know, I'm a little confused right now. It's a little bit of a shell shock, but yeah, where are we again?
Okay, so we are in the slow-moving time machine, which moves
slightly faster than the time that we're used to on the outside.
So that we can talk about the movie and wrap up our conversation by the time that the movie is over, because the slow-moving time machine has actually split our existence into two. So we are inside the time machine, but also
I'm a banana split right now, that's what you're saying?
If that comparison helps you, then yes. So... So you're inside the time machine, but you're also
outside the time machine watching the movie with everyone else.
We'll finish our conversation. They'll
finish the movie out there.
We'll step out of the time machine and your existences will combine again and your memories will combine. So you'll have memories of both things happening simultaneously.
So I'm on camera.
Well, I mean, we are recording this. But I'm not messing with you. This is really happening.
Wait, okay.
You cannot believe me if you want to, but when you get out of the slow-moving time machine, you'll be surprised.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, in the meantime, if you happen to feel strange in any way, there's a water dispenser. There's also
some Dramamine.
And sometimes you might just need to lay down on the ground just to reorient yourself. I know that this is not the movie that you expected to talk about, but it is the movie that I did the research on. So, and it is the movie that we are going to be watching.
We're rolling with it.
Yeah. So are you ready to learn about Spirited Away?
I'm excited.
Great. So really, to talk about this film, where we need to start is with the director Hayao Miyazaki. He started working in animation in 1963, slowly working his way up to chief animator of feature films and director of TV series. And it was during this time that he first met Isao Takahata. Does that name sound familiar at all to you?
I think I've heard it once or twice, but not as often.
Okay, so he, with Miyazaki, started Studio Ghibli together.
Oh, so they're co-founders.
Yes, he also has directed several Studio Ghibli movies. So Miyazaki, his true breakout occurred when he adapted his own manga into a feature film. Do you have a guess as to which one that was?
No.
Okay. Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
You see, I wasn't going to get it.
That's all right. So following the critical success of Nausicaa, Miyazaki, Takahata, and producer Toshio Suzuki formed Studio Ghibli. The name Studio Ghibli was chosen by Miyazaki from the Italian word Ghibli, which means hot desert wind. The thought being that they were going to revitalize traditional animation by blowing a rejuvenating wind through the industry. I guess, like, if you think about the context of that time, you know, a lot of TV animation was using limited animation techniques like He-Man and stuff like that. So, like, the quality of the hand-drawn animation wasn't as high. And a lot of the Disney movies were not doing very well at that time. This was kind of a low point for the Disney studio. So it makes sense that this time they're like, we're going to make really beautiful movies. Like, for example, Walt Disney made in the 30s with Snow White.
A lot more sense, actually, yeah. Because It's just like, it's a different style of animation.
Right. A lot of time taken to make the movie just perfect. I want to return to the name, because, of course, Studio Ghibli does not retain the hard G of the Italian Ghibli. I could not find the reason why that is, except for on Wikipedia, it states that Ghibli is romanticized in Japanese with the J sound, but I don't know exactly what that means, why that is romanticized.
Like they romanticized the word?
I don't know. I was very confused, but it's not pronounced in the Italian.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'd like to speak to someone native of Japan on this topic.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Like, what? Explain, please.
So, before production on Spirited Away began, Miyazaki had communicated intention of retiring from animation. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
He's actually decided to retire several times and has come back several times. But this was, I think this was the first time that he was like, I'm retiring. And do you know what the last film that was made before Spirited Away that was supposed to be his last?
Was it Poncho?
Ponyo?
Ponyo.
No, Ponyo's a little bit later. It was a good guess. It was Princess Mononoke. And Princess Mononoke was the highest grossing film in Japan up until that point. But then Miyazaki went on a trip to the country with some friends that had five young daughters. And Miyazaki was known for producing stories with strong female protagonists, but it struck him that he had never made a story for 10-year-old girls. So he wanted to rectify that and create a heroine that girls in that age range could look up to, which I think is really interesting.
Yes.
I had not really thought about how almost all of the movies center around a female protagonist.
I hadn't even noticed that either. That's crazy. But it's like it's also kind of nice that like he was self-indulging enough to like see that in himself and be like, I haven't done this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so by this time, Disney had struck a deal with Studio Ghibli that they would finance 10% of all projects for the rights to be sole American distributor of their films. And Pixar's John Lasseter, who was an admirer and friend of Miyazaki, was a strong supporter of Spirited Away. Miyazaki himself was intimately involved in all aspects of the film, drawing much of it himself. Yeah, he's amazing. He's a genius. He storyboarded the film without a script and instead let the story write itself.
That boy got skill.
Yeah. When you're watching it out there, when your memories merge, think about like the storyline and how it grows and changes, because he didn't know where the story was going while he was making it, while he was storyboarding it. Mind-blowing, right?
Like, I'm just trying to fathom that. As, like, somebody who draws, I just... connecting all of those frames? That's a full film.
Mm-hmm.
This is mind-blowing to me.
So, the film also implements experimental computer animation used in a very limited capacity to enhance the imagery, but not to distract, so that it would still be considered a traditional animation film, 2D animation. And most of it is still hand-drawn. Yeah, I mean, I think that the 3D animation is done very, very tastefully, so that you can't really... It's sometimes very easy to miss.
Right.
So, John Lasseter took over for the production of the English language dub that... I don't know, when you first saw it, was it an English dub or was it subtitled?
It was subtitled.
Okay. Yeah. So the English language dub is the one that most Americans probably saw it the first time that way. And it's probably the version that a lot of kids that saw it when they were kids, they saw it with the English language dub. And that one was produced by John Lasseter. The writers for the English dialogue wrote the script to match the lip movements of the characters. So it's likely that there are a few differences in dialogue for both versions. And I do know that some of the lines were completely added to inform American audiences what was happening if it was thought that the cultural differences would be too confusing. For example, in the original Japanese, there was no need for Chihiro to say, "It's a bathhouse," because Japanese audiences already knew that.
Not I was clueless.
But Spirited Away was released in Japan on the 20th of July 2001 and was the highest grossing Japanese film of all time until being recently surpassed by Demon Slayer in 2020.
It had a good run.
Yeah, it's 2001 to 2020.
That was like banking, autumn years.
yeah, that's a really long time to hold that mantle.
Goodness gracious. But with good reason, though. Like I said, like, I don't think I've ever seen anything else like it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it won multiple awards, including Best Film at the Japan Academy Awards and Best Animated Feature at the 75th Academy Awards. It is the only non-English film to win an Oscar for Best Animated Feature and the only hand-drawn film to receive the award because it hasn't been around that long. I think the year that Spirited Away won was the second year that that was a category. Isn't that crazy?
They said, oh, we want that award too.
I think it was like, because sometimes when animated films were nominated, or at least like being considered for Best Picture, there were a lot of people that got upset about that.
Mm.
Like, you know, actors.
Right.
Directors. I'm sure like everybody, but...
Everyone has their say in, you know, what should be the best or the award-winning or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. So, in an industry that mostly focuses on 3D computer animation at this point, Studio Ghibli still remains centered around hand-drawn animation. And because of Spirited Away's wide international distribution and success, an enormous critical acclaim, Miyazaki definitely followed through on the intent when naming the studio Hot Desert Wind. And Spirited Away forever changed the way people the world over thought about animation, who began to see it as a serious art form that is not just for kids. And the fact that a film that centers around Japanese traditions and Shinto deities had international appeal and tremendous commercial success forever changed the way that Japanese people thought about the potential for anime. You really cannot overstate how important and highly influential this film is. And I think totally by accident, because this is not the movie you actually chose, but I think this is the most popular and successful film we've ever covered on this podcast.
Wow. I mean, wow. No, but like every time that you've mentioned something about it, like it's almost like my mind is blown, but I'm also not surprised because of like the amount of work that these people, like they just put in like so much work into it. Like, why wouldn't it have? The fact that it was so much work.
Yeah.
All of this was hand-drawn and y'all like used computer, but it was like just for like the itty bitty stuff. Oh, okay. Okay. That, yeah. No, that's fine.
I know. It's mind blowing how gorgeous this movie is.
I think it's interesting that they, with the language thing, they kind of added those lines because it's just like, I wonder how often they do that too. Because I know like they do it a lot with manga, like they translate things over and sometimes it's just like, there's the differences in language and all that. So I'm just like, huh. Now it made me think about it, like with other like shows or films that I've seen. Because the reason why I had seen it when I first saw it, I saw it with the subtitles, was because like I was also like growing up, I was kind of like that kid that wanted to watch the stuff in Japanese because I was just like, I want to know what they're saying and like I want to learn Japanese too. And so, you know, I never learned Japanese, but it was still like a thing that I wanted to like do. And so like I would seek that out. Like I would be like, all right, like, but you know, I don't remember it, like specifically any differences, but it'd be interesting now to see the translated version versus the English version to see how different they are.
Yeah, absolutely. We are watching the English dub out there. Because that's what I have. That's really all I have about this movie, Spirited Away, other than that it has recently been adapted into a stage play. Did you know that?
I did not.
Okay, well, when we step out of the slow-moving time machine and the movie is over, you need to look at those photos online because it looks incredible.
Okay. I'm excited.
Okay, well, that's it. Do you have any other thoughts before we step out of the slow-moving time machine and rejoin the party?
Oh, like, how's the process? Do I just get to step out, or, like, does it spit me out? Like, was it, do I press a button? There's a big red one right there.
Don't press that.
Don't press it?
No, don't. Don't. Lexter, no. No, 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 no.
What if I press it?
No, don't press it.
Don't press it?
Please don't press it.
I think they want me to press it.
Don't! You don't know how annoying it's gonna be. Okay, let's get out of here. Quickly, quickly.
Activating stochastic cup holder generation. Remember to check all bodily crevices for spontaneous cup.
Okay, here we are at the Spirited Away after party. Lexter, I wish you hadn't pushed that red button. How are you feeling?
You know, mistakes were made, but we're here to tell the story, so.
Yeah, you want to expand on that a little? What did the red button do? What did it do, Lexter?
What didn't it do would be a much better and simpler question. However, I will, I think I'm still having a little bit of a moment from that.
I am not surprised. I told you not to push that red button.
It hit my head really hard, and I think, actually, has anybody, like, ever pressed the red button before, like, before me? Like, was that?
No. Most people, listen when I warn them not to.
I think I have enough to press charges. I think I'm going to
Well, there was a sign above the red button that says do not push under any circumstances.
It doesn't count if it's in a different language, especially Japanese. I can't read Japanese. Like, I mean, I know that it was themed for the story and everything else, you know, and the whole, but.
Well, there was a button right next to it that would have translated for you.
Was it also red?
No. It was puce.
Understandable why that button didn't get pressed then.
Not quite as appealing as red.
Yeah.
You got a big red button. It might get pressed.
Yeah. Okay, point taken. I will recolor code the buttons. But no one's going to believe you that you're in a slow-moving time machine. I'm sorry.
You know, it might be, I have friends, they've done things, they've, you know, we've been around, we get it, it's cool. This is every day, you know, this is okay.
Good, well, I hope that you're okay.
I mean, I'm still pressing, but well, that's a conversation for later.
Okay, well, but you do remember watching the movie.
Oh, yeah. The movie was great. The movie was wonderful. I think even watch, like, every time I watch it, I just get something new out of it. It's incredible. Like, it's...
Yeah, by the way, everybody, we haven't shared this with everybody else yet, except for the people that have listened to the podcast episode so far. But there was a little bit of a mix-up, and Spirited Away was not the movie that Lexter thought he was choosing.
Oh.
What happened?
Glad that you asked.
Tell us the story.
No. I thought that we were talking about a movie and also an animated movie, okay? And so, you know, I started talking about it as if we were talking about the same movie, and clearly we weren't, when I got to the details and I started talking about a horse and, you know, like talking about, like, I was all about the horse's journey and, you know.
Spirit.
Yeah.
I have made this mistake before as well.
Thank you. So,
yeah.
But, you know, we Bailey let me know very quickly that we were not talking about the same story. She told me the right story. And I was like, I know this one.
You know, it's a pretty similar story.
Right. They both have, like, great messages, I feel.
And they're both animated.
Right.
And they're both journeys.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about Spirited Away. I know we have one person here that had never seen it before.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Would you like to tell us what your first impressions were?
Oh, it was crazy. It's such a, if anybody knows me, I'm a huge movie person. So this is like such a weird blind spot that I have at like my movie consumption. I thought it was awesome. It was like, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Like, it was a lot darker than what I thought going in, because I've only seen Kiki's Delivery Service, which, you know, is not, is a lot more lighthearted. And then I'd seen Princess Mononoke like one time. And I was like, oh, this is darker than I thought, but I really enjoyed it. And I really liked all of the symbolism in it. To me, it's almost like the Divine Comedy in a way. Like, there's a lot of like those similar ideas woven through it, but I loved it. I dug it.
Awesome. I'm so glad that we got to share that with you. Yeah. Lexter, thank you for choosing Spirited Away.
I have seen the other Spirit movie. So if we were talking about Spirit, Sign of the Cimarron or whatever it is, I have seen that movie, but I have not seen this movie.
It was like watching it for the first time, because it's been so long since I've seen this movie. I could only remember like tiny pieces of it.
Yeah. And I always mix things up. So every time I watch it, it's like reconnecting things that are there. So it feels like I'm seeing something new, because I always remember it wrong.
It feels very disconnected sometimes.
Well, there might be a reason for that. I learned while researching this that Miyazaki storyboarded the whole thing without a script and let the story develop itself.
Fine.
Huh. That makes a lot of sense now that I know that.
What do you think is the most frightening part of the movie?
From my memories of seeing this so long ago, I remember what scared me at the beginning when her parents turned into pigs for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it, the sense of like loss of control and not being able to count on the only people you've ever been able to count on. I remember as a kid, that apparently had a big effect on me, even though it's pebbles compared to the rest of the movie.
There are fewer things scarier for a kid than getting lost.
And that's when the girl is like the most scared of out of the entire movie. It's before she gets brave.
Yeah, because she had to grow apart from her parents. And that's a really scary concept for a kid when you're really dependent on the adults.
And I think also like just the fact that like not only were her parents just like removed from the equation, but like now she's like in this unknown place and all these like strange figures are popping up where it's just like, is this even real? You know what I'm saying? Like where it's like in reality, you can lose your parents. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this stuff would be a fictional thing. And all of a sudden it's like a very real thing. So I think just like, I think me, younger me watching this, that was what was scary for me, was like, yo, like, are these things out here for real? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, are these, like, are there secret societies of spirits that we just...
I think one of the scariest things to me that catches me off guard every time is how creepy that river spirit head is when it rises out of the water and says, well done.
Yes, 100% agree.
Oh, he's here.
Well done.
That was one of the parts that felt the most disconnected out of everything.
Well, it's because everything else drops out. Right. There's not even any other sound. There's nothing else in the background other than the blue of the water or steam or whatever. And just the head rises up, disconnected from anything else. Not even, like, I don't think the jaw's not even connected to the head.
Oh, I think that the animation style looks different too. Like it looked like a different, somebody else drew it or used different medium or something.
Yeah, like reminds me of a video game or something. You know what I mean? Like in the 80s or something when it would be like game over. It just was really weird.
Something that occurs to me now, having to remember which pig is your parents after looking at them for one time for like 1 minute, that seems so stressful.
Oh, yeah. And they all look exactly the same.
No, okay, so we were talking about the scariness of the movie, right? But I think, like, there's a reason for the scariness and the darkness, right? Like, there was, they were diving at some real heavy stuff here.
Definitely. You know, that brings me to one of the other questions that I had. What are some of the themes that stand out to you in the movie?
I feel like this movie hates children. Because, like, the baby is such a, like, tool, and they really didn't like Chihiro at the beginning, and all the creators, like, talk about how much she sucks at the beginning of the movie, and she's, like, only better when she grows up a little bit.
That's very true, and and the thing is that I would have never known that everyone thought of her as like lazy and whiny without hearing like the creators talk about it, because I just saw her as a depressed child that is expressing it the way that she knows how, because she's having to move away from all of her friends.
Yeah, she seems like in a pretty like normal emotional reaction to like her misfortunes, and then has some exceptional bravery when she's dealing with it. So like, why the hate? I don't get it.
This may be a cultural difference along the same lines as the first Aaron tradition, where kids are supposed to be able to take care of themselves and be full people before they're that old.
I think that may have something to do with it as well. So like, because it's just like, if she's whining about like having to move or something, that's such a small thing of life. We move around, you know what I'm saying? But like, you need to get over these smaller things in order to be able to accept like, I guess, the bigger things.
I was thinking something similar, that like, maybe the whininess or whatever isn't actually the important thing. It's that she's not confronting and like dealing with the emotions and then letting them through. She's not being where she is because she's caught in those emotions. And over the course of the movie, she learns how to do that, to move forward, to be brave and to face her fears and do the thing.
Yeah. I mean, and at the end, her father says something about, I know it's going to be hard with a bunch of new people. And she says, I think I'll be fine or something.
I've been through hell.
Yeah, she adapts. She goes into a completely new place and adapts quite remarkably. I think like going to a new school is going to be easy.
I like to see that growth, that character.
Yeah, I mean, her parents just started eating a food without permission.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, we'll pay for it later.
Yeah, you can tell where she got it from, her crude ways.
Did anyone as a kid find themselves in a situation where you had to adapt to a completely new environment with new people?
All the time. I was a military brat. Like, literally, like, we bounced around, I don't know how often. And it was just like, yo, like, we have to PCS. Say bye.
What's PCS?
Where they just station you somewhere else. Like, they just, like, you have to move. You have to go do your job somewhere else. And so, like, literally, like, we would just pick up and leave. And there was times where, like, I would just live somewhere, like, for 6 months. And it would be like, yo, like, we're doing this again? We didn't finish unpacking, bro. Like, but that's the military life.
Did you feel like you were able to make new friends when you went to new places?
For sure. I feel like at first I was a little like intimidated by the whole fact of it, because especially like I didn't know English. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Spanish was my first language. And like, I literally remember going into an American class the first time and like just being freaked out at the fact that like all the people around me were like, they didn't speak the same language, right? Like, so I couldn't really communicate with them. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, that was awkward. And then like, I sat down and I remember specifically the guy, the kid behind me, he knew that I was like transferred in from somewhere. And he was like, hi. And I was like, hey. And then that was it. And that was the extent of it. Cause that's all I could say. I was just like, hey.
You just kept smiling?
That was it. I was just like, what am I supposed to say? I don't know. Shoot. My name is Lexter. I didn't even know how to say that. It was just like, I'd be like, mi nombre es Lexter. And then I'd expect people to like, just know, you know? So I think it's kind of interesting because it's almost like a feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, sometimes you bump into a foreigner, and if you don't understand them, you'll start like, they'll do hand signs or something, but you kind of have to feel it out, you know? Mm-hmm. You can never kind of like just be like, that's that. So I don't know. I guess that's the adjustment. It's a feeling.
Does anybody else have stories about needing to adapt to a new environment with new people?
So for me, it wasn't like, I grew up in the same town and everything as a kid, like same house, all that jazz. But as an adult, like, I moved to Austin when I was 18 for college. Like, my freshman orientation started on my 18th birthday. And so I think even as an adult, when you're put into those situations, or, you know, like as an older teen, I think it's so easy to revert back to when you're a kid. You know what I mean? Cause I'm like, when I get in a new situation, I'm a little bit more quiet. And like when you get to know me, I'm a lot more outgoing. And I was really shy as a kid growing up. And so I think even as an adult, it's really easy to go back into that kid state of mind when you're in a new situation. I don't know if it really ever goes away. I think as an adult, you just kind of learn how to adapt faster than when you were a kid, but I don't think it ever really goes away. Anytime you're in a new situation, you're always going to have that little bit of anxiety, that little bit of, you know, scaredness to you, you know, even just like starting a new job, going to a new place, going on a date for the first time, you always have like that little bit of little kid anxiety in you of like, I need to call my mom right now, or like, I need an adult right now, because this is a brand new situation. And I don't know how to handle myself. So that's what I can say is, as an adult, I've been in that situation more than when I was a kid. And for me, it's never gone away. And I'm almost 30 years old. And I still sometimes I'm like, okay, you're fine. This is fine. Everything is okay. You will adapt and it will be okay. Because it just stays with you forever.
We didn't move a whole lot. Like, not like an army kid when we were little, but we moved like a fair amount. The biggest one was when I was about 10. We moved from Louisiana to California. And so then I stood out because I said y'all and like fixin' to you and like sir and ma'am and stuff. And like people weren't mean to me, but they definitely like made me feel different. So then I like got rid of my accent. I moved to Texas for one year in high school before moving back to California. And then that made me like appreciate y'all again. So I put that back into my vocabulary, but I haven't like quite reintegrated everything. It's kind of a new mishmash now.
Yeah, I've definitely had that experience going to other places and people getting really mad when you say ma'am or sir. They're like, excuse me? That's my father or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you work in customer service, like people used to get so mad at me on the phone when I would say yes, sir, or ma'am, because some people take it as a sign of condescension. And I was like, no, like I'm just trying to be respectful. And they would think like you were being patronizing. And I was like, no, I swear. I'm just trying to be nice. I promise.
I call my cat sir and ma'am.
You know, you just need to like make it clear to them that no. When I am condescending to you, it'll be clear because I'll say, bless your heart.
You will know when I'm doing it.
A situation that I was put in where I had to suddenly adapt to a whole new thing. It's hard for me to think of a specific story about this because I've never really felt very adaptable. I've always felt like things around me are happening and I am also here. I've never really felt like I had to change my behavior to match a situation. Either things worked out or they didn't work out.
No, I think that's great, Kate. I think that's awesome. You never need to change who you are.
It hasn't always worked out, but there wasn't really, it never felt like there was anything for me to do about it. It's like either people wanted to be my friend or I got put into class on how to make friends. It's like, oh, I'm here now. Other people have made mistakes. I'll just keep on going.
Okay. So the movie in some ways laments the loss of old traditions and is critical of the present, especially with the depiction of the greedy parents and the examples of pollution that you see in the movie. If there was one thing that you could take culturally or technology-based or whatever, even a food, out of the time of your childhood and bring it into the present, what would it be and why?
Video stores, because here's my defense, because it was such an integral part of me as a kid. Like anytime I was sick, my mom went to Blockbuster. Anytime something good happened, we went to Blockbuster. And so like now that Vulcan and iHeartVideo are both gone, rest in peace. Mm-hmm. It's so, I got to work at Vulcan for 2 whole weeks before it closed. I started at Vulcan 2 weeks before the pandemic. That's so sad. I know, it was so sad. That is something that I would love to bring back because just this whole, just like the whole essence of a video store and just like knowing and having that little comfort of like, okay, I'm sick, so my mom can go to Blockbuster. Or, you know, I can go to Blockbuster and they have like all of my movie candy and popcorn and stuff and like all the little promotions that they run. I feel like we just grew up and that was like such an integral part of our childhood and like something that we so took for granted. And now as an adult, I'm like, God, I just wish I could go to a video store and just rent a movie.
I miss the experience of browsing and picking out the movie for Friday night with pizza and popcorn.
That like weird wet carpet smell of Blockbuster. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know what I'm, it's like, it smelled like movie candy and like wet carpet, but you loved it. You know what I mean? Like you appreciated every bit of that smell and you're like, I should probably not be smelling this, but you just like enjoyed the ride. And so that's the one thing I miss video stores so much, because it was just such a huge part of my childhood.
I remember like the squat I would do to look at the movies on the bottom shelf without touching the floor.
The feeling of betrayal when you'd pull back a movie case and the movie wouldn't be behind it and someone left the movie case out. You're like, but where is it?
I think the thing that I would want to bring into the present, phones that used electricity to carry sound rather than it being digital, because phones used to sound so good. And I could talk to a friend on the phone for hours. You know, I didn't get frustrated with how garbled things got. I miss the old phone. Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree about that. I feel crazy sometimes because, like, not everybody notices.
I know.
Yeah. And so when I talk about it, they just, like, don't get it. But I think it's because, like, so my family has been, like, all over the place since forever. So I've always talked on the phone a lot. And it's, like, noticeably worse now when I try.
Yeah.
Strangely, video's better.
I know. I know. But sound through our communication device is not. So it used to sound like you were talking to someone in the next room. That's how clear it sounded.
I think music players are another one for me, because now like your music and everything's on your phone. And so like if you go work out or something, I'm like, it was, you know, back in the day, or like if you wanted to take a walk or whatever, you didn't have a phone with you. Like you could just listen to your music, be tuned into that. But I'm like, now since everything is on your phone, even if you put your phone on do not disturb or whatever, I'm still tempted to like check on stuff while I'm working out or doing whatever, instead of having like that disconnect of, okay, I can listen to my music on my Walkman or my iPod or whatever. And then my phone is a separate entity.
Yeah. I second that. I think that like, even though having one device that does everything is incredibly convenient, there is sort of a bit of a loss of like the tactile sensation of using something that is meant to do just one thing. I used to have, I think they called it an iPod Classic at that point, like a big square chonker with a touch dial that you could use to scroll through your whole library. And I was using that basically forever until someone stole it out of my car, and I would still be using it if I had it. But now I use like Spotify, and it like, sure, I have more access to more music, but at what cost? The answer is like a monthly subscription fee.
How about you, Haley?
Yeah. Speaking of like the tactility of those devices made me remember like when I had a flip phone, and like, you remember how, I think it was the number 5 button like had a little bump on it, so you could always like orient yourself. And this was like when you didn't have a keyboard, so you have to press like number 2 twice to get the letter B, and then like 3 once to get the letter E or whatever. But when I had that little button or that little bump on number 5, I could like text in my pocket. So I could be like sneaky sending text messages. And like, I don't like that I have to pay so much attention and that I have to have such precision on my phone. I want my phone relationship to be very casual.
I miss buttons. I miss phone buttons so much.
I was thinking about it while y'all were talking, and the one thing that I think I really do miss from being a youngin was the almost solid molasses thick static that came off of my TV. Cause I would sometimes just not be watching what was on the TV and just like have my hand up on the screen, seeing like where it got stronger. And if I changed the channel, if the static changed, and how long it would take to dissipate once I turned the TV off.
We could tell that you're a scientist. I know that the static that you're talking about, I remember that because I would get close enough to see the red, green, blue pixels.
Would you call it memory static?
Oh.
We've done it. It's a perfect podcast.
Return your videos here.
Well, I think that that probably is a good sign off. So, Lexter, thank you for indirectly choosing this movie and sharing it with all of us.
Thank y'all.
What was the experience like watching it with everybody?
It was great. I loved having like this group session and like being able to like watch a film as a team. Like that was awesome. I think it was like especially cool, like the fact that we were just having commentary about it. And it was just like, that was new for me as well. So I was just like, oh, okay. But yeah, no, it was fun. Thank y'all for hopping on and like enjoying this movie with me. Yeah.
I love this movie.
Yeah, this is great.
Good pick.
Great accidental pick that you made.
Thank you, Bailey, for misunderstanding what I said completely.
You told me Spirited Away.
Bailey is the feeling. You were supposed to feel.
Emotions don't have language.
Well, Lexter, I hope that you recover from the red button. I am sorry, but I did warn you.
Like the paperwork in the mail. The lawyer's already been called. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. Okay. All right. Well, with that, this has been Memory Static. Return your videos.
Return your videos, return your videos here. Videos here.
Now you, Lexter.
Return your videos here.
One thing is for certain. Life can sure surprise you. You settle. Got somebody else's groceries. You open up your shopping bag to see what's inside, but you discover there's not one shred of food inside. Not a shred of food. There's only a horse. This is not a song about horses. No, this is not a song about horses. This isn't a song about horses. So what was the song about? Job, you might want a girlfriend or a new guitar, but when you show up for the interview, you will not meet your employer. You cannot get past the receptionist blocking the door because there isn't a door. The door is a horse. On 1150 pounds. Why are there so many horses? This is not a song about horses. There shouldn't be so many horses. What was the song about? Yeah, what was the song about? Driving down the road to the rock show, not a single car on the freeway. You can't see a vehicle anywhere, but the traffic is horrible anyway. You're bored, so you turn on the radio, and you hear the voice of the DJ. But the jockey's not jockeying discs, he's jockeying horses. And now there's horses coming out of your speakers, and there's a horse in every seat of your car. And there's a horse in every convenience store, reading the paper, doing the crossword, asking what's a five-letter word for a quarter. quadruped that humans can ride on. That's the clue given for 15 down and 17 across. Have you figured it out? Yeah, you figured it out. So you reach for a pencil, but there isn't a pencil. There's only a horse. A miniature figurine horse. If this is not a song about horses, then why are there so many horses? I guess it's a song about horses. That's what the song's about. Yeah, that's what the song's about. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make lemonade.
The Memory Static Podcast is hosted and edited by Bailey Moore, with original score and additional sound editing by Indigo Starbeam. The slow-moving time machine is voiced by... Original song is written by Bailey Moore and Indigo Starbeam. Find more music at IndigoStarbeam.com. To learn more about the film events, follow Memory Static Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you like the show, please consider donating to our Patreon. If you have stories to share about any movie we've covered, please write us at memorystatic@gmail.com. Special thanks to our guests,
Lexter Santana.
And thank you to all of our party guests. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.